It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
All right, this is Andrew Strimick with the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock filling in for yours truly, Ernest Hancock. Now, I want to talk about something. I want to take this little conversation. We're today, for everybody that's just tuning in, we're talking about the swine flu since it is October and they are starting the vaccinations. They're starting to give them out and we're getting into the flu season. And we want to talk about the dangers because nobody's really talking about that. You don't hear too much talk about the dangers of vaccines. Though, you know, over 40% of the people in certain polls have said that they will not take the vaccination. You know, it seems to be more propaganda out there filling the TVs and saying that, hey, this vaccine is all right. It's not harmful. My dad was just telling me the other day after I give him all this information. I talk to my dad about this stuff all the time. So it's not like he doesn't know. But, you know, he's like, hey, I just saw a thing on the TV saying that the vaccines are okay and that they're not harmful and stuff. And look, Dad. This is some, you know, this is some serious stuff here. You know, it got mercury in it. You know, that's just propaganda. They're trying to sell their product, and they got to get it into you. But you know, what's their motives? Are there more motives than just money here? Is this a eugenics program? I mean, look at some of this the inserts that go along with the vaccine, such as like I think it was either was a Novavax. Or that one starts with the N.
Novartis.
Novartis. Yeah, Novartis. I think it was the Novartis vaccine that they were looking that saw someone was looking at. It actually says on there it will cause sterilization. And these vaccines, I mean, you got to think it's attacking your immune system, attacking your body. It's going to lead to now they admit in all sorts of research. Prominent doctors talk about Dr. Blaylock, Russell Blaylock, Dr. Tenpenny, Dr. Horowitz. You know, go look at some of these doctors. Look at their websites. Look at what they have to say about it. It does affect your reproductive ability. So, you know, what we got all this propaganda. We got all this propaganda out there about having these vaccines, the propaganda about depopulation stuff and control. Now, I got a caller from Pat in Indiana. I want to take your call.
I was thinking about, you know, the reason why we believe that they truly want to get rid of us is because we heard on Alan Stang's show before he passed away that he was reading about Professor Bianca in Texas at Lamar University in Beaumont, and he won the highest award, and the award was that he was talking in his thesis that people in around the world, especially America, think they're humans and they have the right to live upon this earth. But he says we're nothing but bacteria, and bacteria does not have the right to live on this earth.
That's right. You know, this doctor, I've actually seen the clips of him where he's given a big speech to an auditorium filled with college grads and all sorts of people in this auditorium, and they're literally applauding him, yeah. Applauding him for saying we gotta depopulate the world
by 90%.
All right, we'll get back to that in just when we come back. Okay,
okay.
Hold on there, Pat.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
This is Andrew Strimick on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show filling in. Now, we're taking calls today about the swine flu vaccination, about fears, about your concerns, about what your deepest feelings are on the subject. Our number is 1-800-313-9443. You can call in at 1-800-313-9443. Now, you know, we're talking when we left about this doctor in Texas. I mean, literally, this doctor had like red skulls or something, you know, all these weird dark kind of image project on the back wall of him. And, you know, we got these professors at these universities giving these big old speeches about, you know, depopulation, you know, we got to control, we got to sterilize, we got to shrink the population down. I want to kill my family, I want to kill my children, I wish, you know, why are we even here? This mentality and getting the applaud from these universities, these people standing up and giving them applauses, and yeah, it's just sickening. It's just really, these are the people that you send your children to college to the universities to learn about social biology and social sciences and, you know, what to think about the world. You know, we got movies coming out of Hollywood that the main line is, you know, the world's overpopulated. The trees turn on everybody and kill all the population.
I don't watch many movies.
Oh man,
sorry,
yeah, there's this movie. I forget what it was called, but it's basically my friend was telling me about it, and the nature basically turns on population because the Earth's overpopulated. Man, you know, doesn't deserve to live, and it's just filled with subliminal messages about, you know, how we're overpopulated. And, you know, you fill in these young, impressionable minds with this type of information. When every life is precious, and we all have liberties, I mean, our babies, you know, the ones that aren't even born yet, they must protect them. You know, you can't say that your life is doesn't count at the beginning of birth or at the end of life. And so if we're going to protect life, we got to protect our life with when we're dealing with these vaccines too. I mean, we can't be giving out and allowing our government to give out these vaccines that are harming people. And that's kind of the point. And Pat, did you have anything else to say?
I'd like to say that Bianca also said AIDS was not killing them fast enough, that they had to go to an airborne Ebola virus. And I also have one more thing to say. They're stepping up the checkpoints in Ohio. Our son-in-law and daughter got stopped by 35 police officers with huge big lights, pulling them over to a church yard and shining the lights inside the cars upon everyone. And our son-in-law said, "What is this, Czechoslovakia or something?" And the police officer said, "Yes."
You better be skippy about that. Yeah, this is not America anymore. This is their country. And thank you very much, Pat. I want to go to the next call. I got John in Georgia. Well, what's your concerns today, George? Or John?
Well,
I'm sorry.
A couple things. I live in a very rural part of southern Georgia. There's basically farms all around us and about 20, 30 minutes from the nearest town. And one day I was coming back from downtown where I have a little office. Only place I get a good internet bandwidth, I work on the internet. And I come home, and I see a couple tractor trailers parked out in front of these little communities of where the migrant farmers live. We'll just call them that. Basically little towns of 20 to 30 trailer homes and a bunch of Mexican people work in the fields there. And I was like, wow, they're all having a party. That's cool. And I slow down and just check it out. And I noticed that both tractor trailers had the sides popped out. They were both medical trailers. There's about 14 to 15 people in scrubs walking around, and some of them were at the end of the trailer serving the food. There's a line going into the trailer, a line coming out of the trailer. Everyone's holding their arm with a little thing on their, I guess where they were vaccinated, coming out to get their free hot dogs, pork and beans and all that before they head out to the place where they can eat.
Your last meal.
Yeah, free meal, come and get it. Oh, but you have to get the shot first. And I don't even know what they were giving them. But I guarantee you, whatever it was probably a vaccine, and everybody was getting them.
Well, I'll tell you John. You know, in Arizona, like I was saying earlier, last hour, they're setting up checkpoints. They're sending out order in our governor Jan Brewer's website here in the state of Arizona. She got some documents on there. It says that they are training, openly training these checkpoint border patrols and everybody to find illegal aliens and make sure that they are, if they exhibit any signs of being sick, that they are vaccinated. And, and so this is happening across the country. I'm what you saw on there. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they're doing. I mean, they're going, they're targeting the rural anybody. They need to get this vaccinated. So, like, definitely on the books, on the agenda is to vaccinate even the illegal immigrants, or even the workers in the field, or, you know, whether they're illegal or not. But, you know, the one here in Arizona talks about the illegal immigrants vaccinating them. So this is a very big concern. I mean, they're driving out. They're saying, hey, you know, we're going to give you a free meal here. You know, let's. How else are they going to tie? So are they going to start giving out gift cards? Are they going to start giving out more money? What's going on?
Well, you want to hear the worst part of it? The worst part of the whole thing is that in this county, and there are many of these rural counties are just like this. 52 or 53%, more than 50% of the kids in the elementary schools are from Mexico, and a lot of them are the migrant workers. So 3 weeks ago, my son comes home. He's sick. He was sick for a week. We think it's the flu. We don't know. We get him better. It took about 2 weeks. Then my wife and I both got sick, and I'm just getting over it. And and I'm sure it came from the school system through my son back to us. And if you get, I should send you guys. I should post this whole thing up on your website, because if you look at the picture of my son's class, is like, out of the 14 kids, six of them are Hispanic, and none of them speak English.
Well, I'll tell you what, John. I mean, with these immigrants come in here, and the thing is, they always target these type of populations. It's always the minorities. Why? Because they're generally the more poor populations, which means they don't eat as healthy. They're not as going to be able to resist the virus as much. So you can cultivate a virus in people, and it's going to have a stronger, a worse effect on them when they're weaker. Now, in Mexico, you know, when the swine flu broke out back during the end of summer in Mexico, a lot more people were getting kind of sick with a heavy sickness. And then up here in the States, it wasn't as bad. You know, it was kind of mute because the people in Mexico, they're not eating as healthy. They're poor. They live in and a lot of these, and it sounds like this is a rural community, so you got much more poor people and generally. So that could be a reason why they're targeting them, because they're going to cultivate, they're going to get other people sick. If you get them sick from giving them a live virus and some of these vaccines and these nasal sprays, if they get sick from the vaccine, which a lot of people, and at my work, where I work at, it's like a big petri dish. We got all these cubicles inside. It's all, the air circulates. It's not filtered out. And, you know, one person gets a shot, and then all of a sudden they get sick, and they're coming to work, and everybody's sick. It just spreads out like a big petri dish. And so they're going towards the schools. I mean, that's one of the big targets, is actually the education. And that's one thing. As a parent, will you have the right, when they come to your school, will you even have the knowledge that they vaccinated your kids? Are they going to just do it? Are you going to be informed? Are you going to be having to sign a consent form or anything? Have you gotten any of this notifications?
Well, what we do is, I mean, at the beginning of the year, there's two things we do. Georgia, I mean, I love the state kind of, but two things we do. We fill out a form that says we take a religious exemption so that he doesn't get anything. No vaccines. He hasn't received anything since I found out about vaccines, since he's been about a year old. So luckily for him, he hasn't had any vaccines in the last 6 years of his life, and the school is supposedly not supposed to give him anything. And I've got him. He's a pretty smart kid, so we got him set up so that, look, if anyone asks you for your name, you can tell them that, but do not tell them your address. Do not let them touch you. Do not. And he's really good about that, because the other day they were trying to take school pictures, and he wouldn't even give him his home address or anything. So we got him kind of organized that way. The second thing is they have corporal punishment in Georgia, so we always sign a release for that too, because they pretty much do anything they want to the kids here. The governor of Georgia has already declared, as of a couple months ago when the Mexican swine flu story broke out, that we're in a state of emergency, and at any point he can offer or schedule mandatory vaccines to anybody. Wow. So Man. I have an old beat-up Jeep I take out on the weekends and run around, do a few errands. And I noticed there's down in the main part of town where I work is a FEMA center. And they've been there since, I don't know, probably January. And the whole excuse was, oh, we're here to handle the flood. There was a little flood. And I'm like, okay, well, the flood's been gone for 8 months. Why are you still here?
But like most government organizations, you know, they come in and they say, we're here temporarily forever.
Yeah. And I mean, it's out of control. And I went to, gosh, I haven't been in a Walmart in about 4 months. I decided to go there the other day because, gosh, I don't know what I needed. And I walk in there and happened to be on, I guess it was a Sunday afternoon. And I swear I was in the wrong country. I heard, you know, and there were so many people. I don't know why I thought of this. I walked in there. Everybody, I swear everyone had a tissue in their hand or was sniffling or something. And I'm like, wait a minute. It's only like the summertime. Why is everyone sick? And it freaked me out. So I was like, okay, maybe it's just in my head. But,
well, you gotta stay. I mean, one of these things, and I wouldn't say, you know, worry about, you know, I'm not a doctor here, but all the results of the flu is that it's very minor. It's actually less dangerous than the common cold. And it is very mute. And, you know, I wouldn't put a lot of emphasis on worrying about the vaccine. And one of the things is that some of the doctors I've listened to said that you keep positive. I mean, keep sure. You know, don't stay down, because if you start getting negative, start getting stressed out about a lot of this, you know, it's going down your immune system. So thank you, John, for calling in. And when we get back, we're going to continue talking about the swine flu here.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
This is Andrew Strimek on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. Ernest is out right now, so I'm filling in for him as a guest host today. We are talking about the swine flu vaccines. I want calls from first responders out there. If there's any listening today, please call in 1-800-313-9443. We are taking calls all day on the vaccination, forced vaccination, flu vaccines, anything you can think of related to that topic. So, all right. So, one of the things I wanted to talk about here is that the fact is that we're heading a point where they're creating all these laws, putting them on the books, getting us ready for this big pandemic. Pandemic isn't even here, but yet they're hyping it up. Oh, you know, people are getting sick, but they're not even releasing the statistics. So it's getting hard to find the information out there, who's really sick. But yet, you know, it's just this, supposed to be this awful, awful cold season. I don't really see it happening. I'm not scared of it. What I am scared is that our rights are being circumvented or losing our rights. Drew, did you want to speak to that?
Well, yeah, you had a great last caller from Georgia, and he was saying that they were giving out the vaccines at in a little rural trailer park type thing, and they were giving away free hot dogs. You know, I mean, what a great compensation that is, a free hot dog. That's nothing. But what's the difference between force and coercion? I mean, what's the difference between, you know, I put a gun to your head and say you must take this, or, hey, I'm going to give you some government cheese.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're already there. Like I said, to me, this issue is about force versus control. They're just trying to push their, you know, whether it's good or bad or not, they just want the control to do it. They just want to be able to say, we control your body, yep, and we're going to tell you what you're going to put into it.
And then to do that, they have the Hegelian dialect. So it's problem, reaction, solution. They're creating a problem with a pandemic. They're offering a they're creating a problem, a reaction, the cause and reaction, which is that you're getting all scared. They're going to hype it up, get you all in there to take the vaccine. That's their solution. You're going to take the vaccine, and you know you're going to have immune system problems, and you don't know what's going to really happen to you when you take this vaccine. There's a lot of problems that could either happen to you immediately after you take the vaccine, or they could take out decades. You know, they could affect you
when you're older, you know, for the young people out there, I mean, you take it in your 20s and all of a sudden in your 50s and 60s, you start getting cancer, some sort of MS. You know, is it, you know, did it come from the vaccine? Well, doctors, Blaylock seems to think so. Now, also, I'd like to roll this clip, next clip that we have. Go ahead.
An investigative journalist from Washington, Wayne Madsen, says the outbreak of the virus is raising suspicion.
I spoke to two journalists, one from Mexico City and the other one from Jakarta, Indonesia. And, of course, Indonesia had a problem not long ago with bird flu. Both these journalists have been in touch with UN and World Health Organization officials, including a scientist who's dealt with Ebola virus and HIV/AIDS in Africa. And it's their conclusion, these scientists who they've spoken to, that this is a very unusual form of flu because it looks like it is a product of some gene splicing. The flu contains elements of bird flu, two forms of human flu, and various forms of swine flu. To them, it doesn't look like this is naturally occurring. The other thing is the target for this flu, as opposed to other flus, it's not the very young and the very old. It's people between the ages of 20 and 45. And the other thing is people are not contracting this from pigs. The National Pork Council here in America says pigs are not being affected. This is human-to-human contact. So people who either eat pork or are exposed to pigs are not getting this flu. Very unusual. Of course, the scientists are very alarmed by the way it's being spread and the speed at which it's being spread.
All right. This flu, this virus that's going around here, you know, it's a very interesting way of saying, you know, it's a combination virus. And not only is it a combination virus, but it's from different species. Well, from different animals.
I'm not a doctor, and I'm also not that smart because I went to public education. But at what point?
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm coping with the public education that I got. But how did the pig and the bird and the human and it's I mean, it's out of like it's out of Disneyland,
maybe,
man.
It's
Alice in Wonderland stuff here.
They went out on a date and things happened, and
so I just don't know. I asked the question. Maybe someone else can come up with it with the answer. But it's ridiculous that. Any common sense person is even going to consider when they understand, when they get the information of what's in these vaccines and the stuff that's in there, that they would even introduce this to their body, that they would even consider this to be a good idea. And, you know, this takes, you know, because the debate over mercury and thimerosal has been back and forth for many years, but we're at a ridiculous level here. I mean, now there's I can't see how anyone with any amount of common sense would think this is such a good idea. The debate over thimerosal, fine, we'll debate that, but with the stuff in the N1H5 or whatever, the H1N5 that they're putting in the nasal sprays, I mean, it's gotten to a ridiculous point, and I don't see why people are going to put up with this. But just to read this off, I was telling you, someone posted to Freedom's Phoenix poll, almost half of Americans won't get H1N1 vaccine. A new survey finds that nearly half of Americans do not plan to get the new H1N1 flu swine flu vaccine. So I don't know, that's positive and encouraging, I think, but still, that means that half of this country thinks is buying the hype, and that's what scares me.
Definitely. So when we get back, let's talk about where this virus came from. You know, let's talk about its origins, because that's the problem, and perhaps we can get behind who the perpetrators are, or, you know, kind of shed a little light. So we'll get back to that when we get back, return.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
This is Andrew Strimick here on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock filling in. Taking calls today. Our number is 1-800-313-9443, and you can call about the swine flu vaccinations. Keep it on the topic. Now, I want to just, before we go to our next caller, Tom in New York, I just want to talk about the virus. This virus is very interesting because it's not just like a swine flu. They call it swine flu. It's not. You know, it's one thing it's not. It's a composite of viruses. And these viruses, some come from birds. It's an avian bird flu. Some of it comes from the old 1918 Spanish flu epidemic, or pandemic, excuse me. And some of it comes from other influenza viruses from Europe or Asia. And then there is a little bit of pig virus in there from, I think, North America. And all these viruses somehow just kind of recombine in this super not really deadly virus. And it started spreading in Mexico. Now, how did this virus that is comes from all these different regions around the world all of a sudden just show up in Mexico? And the first case was in California, I believe is what they said on the news when I was watching. But there was one small little case in California, but then it jumped down in Mexico, and then it started coming back up here. And now, you know, everybody's supposed to be sick. These viruses, according to doctors, you know, are created in a laboratory. And that's the only thing. They can actually locate the laboratories, and you may want to Google this. Swine flu virus created in a laboratory. There's two laboratories or at universities that they said that they were cultivating these viruses, and one here in North America, or one in America and one in Canada here in North America. In this region. So you have these viruses from Asia all of a sudden coming over here. And the other question is, if it has the 1918 virus in it from the Spanish flu, which died out, how'd they get it? Well, what they did is years ago, I think it was back about a decade ago, at least, they dug up, there's a report of how they went up to Alaska. They dug up this Inuit woman's body who was buried in Alaska who died from the Spanish flu. And they actually took some lung tissue out, and they started cultivating and bringing it back. They basically re-engineered it, kind of brought it back to life. And it shows up in this new virus. So here we are. We got these Baxter and these corporations all of a sudden spreading viruses by mistake throughout Europe. And right before the swine flu, a lot of people forget that in Europe, in Czechoslovakia, and I think it was 18 other countries, I believe it was, that Baxter, which creates these vaccines, shipped out live avian bird flu virus to these countries where they were giving it to the homeless. In Czechoslovakia, the only reason why they came across is because they test their virus, and they killed all these ferrets that they were testing the virus out on, or the vaccine, I should say. And they looked in the virus, and it had a live virus and everything.
That was an accident, Andrew. They came out. That was an accident.
My mistake. I'm just a conspiracy theorist.
You are.
And so Baxter apologized, and a lot of people got sick, and some people did die in these countries. And they withdrew it. But now this same virus that they had in there, according to some doctors like Horowitz and others say that it looks like it's pretty much the same virus, but they've added to it. They've changed it, and now they're calling it swine flu. So if this virus really is created in a laboratory, then you got to say, how did it get to the population? How did they release it? Or better yet, you know, why did they release it? And it looks like now they're coming out saying, hey, it's a pandemic. It gave WHO the reason to go to a level 6 pandemic. And now they're mass producing their vaccines. They're getting their little bailout money from the government, just buying up all their millions of vaccines, you know, hundreds of millions, or, you know, 50, you know, tens of millions, or however many it is. And they're going to distribute it to the people, make everybody take it. And then these same companies are all associated with the big medical industry. So, you know, you get your vaccine, it has the squalene, mercury, all this stuff in it. You're going to get sick from it. Later on in life, you're going to have medical problems, and you're going to have to go back to the pharma medical industrial complex and get your medicine, get taken care of, and spend thousands of dollars. Now, Tom, I want to go to this call. Tom in New York, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. What's on your mind today?
Well, you know, it's you're bringing up all inoculations are made in laboratories. It's just that the combination that they've come up with makes it virtually impossible for the body to break it down and create antibodies to fight off the infections of the viruses. But, an interesting situation is we know that this thing is bad. And to try and make an end run around the civil laws that are being made to mandate this. The only exemptions you'll have are religious exemptions. So may I continue with this? It's really interesting.
Go ahead, Tom.
Okay. Jewish people, okay, listen to me carefully. There are pork products in this shot, okay? There are pork products in this shot. You are not going to go to heaven if you use this shot on religious
So you're saying that...
Wait, let me finish. I'm going to show you. This will be very clearly illustrated, okay? Muslim people, Sharia law says you are not to consume pork, okay? There is pork in this shot. Resist the shot. No 73 virgins for you, buddy. You hear me? Okay? Christian people, this shot kills. Suicide is illegal according to the Christian faith. Okay? So you can, if that doesn't work, just tell them you're allergic to mercury. You have a highly allergic
reaction.
Very good,
yeah. So, you know, what you're saying, Tom, and thank you very much for your call. Hold on, Tom.
Well, I just wanted to ask, Tom, I mean, because things are getting bad there in New York. I don't know if you're still there, Tom, but
yeah.
The medical, there's a split between the medical workers because they're trying to force them to take the vaccine, and they're saying, no, we don't want to take them. But, you know, how do you fill out the religious exemption form when the cops are knocking on your door saying you're going to take this?
You do it at the legislative level. You have so many Jewish people and religious good people in Congress and in the Senate. If they are true, if they're willing to hide behind their religions and they're always pontificating about for this and for that, why don't you use your religion for a positive thing that will impact humanity in not a restrictive measure, but in a constructive measure.
Well, here in Arizona, we have religious exemption, but you don't even need to declare religion as your reason. In Arizona, I don't know how it is in New York, but I can just resist. I can say, I just don't want to take this because that's my decision. I don't need to use religion in that. The form you fill out, it has a checkbox. You can check religious exemption, or you can just leave that blank. But what I'm getting at is what we're concerned about is this force or through coercion, or you get your free hot dog and government cheese, and we'll give you a vaccine, is how, you know, what... At what point can we, because to me the legislative process is over. It's dead. There's nothing we can do there. They've already put these laws into effect, and they're either going to enforce them or they're not. What would you do if you're put in that position?
In this position is very, very simple. Everybody that takes the shot because they're given a live virus is contagious for 21 days, okay? From the time the shot starts, to the time the shot's finished, I don't think they're going to be knocking door to door to see if you've taken your shot. But I do see them doing checkpoints where you do come under their jurisdiction. Okay, as you're driving your car, you have a limited contractual agreement with the government for the operation of that car on their roadway. That puts you under their jurisdiction, according to their theory. Okay, so I don't want to get a lot of nonsense. Well, we have the right to do this and we have the right to do that. The bottom line is you got plates on your car. You don't even own your car.
Okay.
You're in their vehicle. You're under their jurisdiction, and they're going to do what they want. That does not happen in your home. Okay? So you can wait out the inoculation period because, if you had food resources and everything, and you can actually set up your house as a Category 5 laboratory if you want, just use tongs to get your mail and throw it in the microwave for 15 seconds, you know, hoping that there's no aluminum foil in it, you know, and you can wait it out. Your immune system may not be able to break this one down because of the combination of I would rather trust my body and trust my faith in God than allow these people to inject me because it's really nothing more than a death lottery. And if you understand and read Agenda 21 and the Rio Summit on Population Control, you know by 2012 they've got to eliminate one-third of the population in this country. So whether you wait for your city to get nuked or your water supply to get poisoned or somebody at the emergency room denies you help, or if you take the shot. I'm not going to go willingly. If they want to come to my house and give me a shot, they're going to get a couple of mine.
All right, Tom. Thank you very much. Now, yeah, and that and Tom brings up a really good point. You know, you do have the ability to claim religious exemption. You go in there, you tell me a story. I mean, that you need to get these exemptions. In some states, you don't need the religious exemption form. Some states, you could just get a form filled out that just allows you to wait, not to take the vaccination. So it's a very good option. But the thing is, you know, if the government can get away with just going to your house and say, and you say, "Hey, I got religious exemption. I got this form." What happens when the government says, "I'm sorry, you know, that's not good enough. You're going to have to take it."
Well, when's the last time that a cop was raiding someone's house and somebody said, "No, wait, let me get my piece of paper out of my filing cabinet, and that's going to stop you from busting in my door"?
Look, it's just like this. Things relate, and Drew's right. In California, I mean, you got like marijuana laws. You could take legally medicinal marijuana, but the federal government's going to come in and say, "No, we don't think so." So in some states, you know, you fill out these religious forms and they say, "You know what? We got a law that supersedes it right now. This is a quarantine." Yeah, or you're going to go to detention, or you're going to get your vaccination, or if you refuse, you know, you'll be detained. So, you know, you open up. This is coercion, you know, to use detention as a threat to try to get you. Because how many people? Some people might just go, "You know, I can't miss this many days of work. I'm going to lose my house, my mortgage. You know, I guess I got no choice now but to take the little poisonous shot." That's the truth, and that's what we need to get down to preventing. And I want to challenge everybody. If you feel the same way, you know, about these vaccines as I do, and you feel that these vaccines might not be the best idea with the information you have at hand, you know, you should start making flyers. You call your representatives. But, you know, most of all, get out there and get productive. You know, make some signs, put them up, you know, in lawful, legal places where you can, in like common areas. Get this information out there in the hands of people and create a resistance. You know, get people all fired up about that.
Well, legal or not legal, we were talking about grocery stores are probably, you know, for a number of reasons, are the best places to go to talk to people. A, because that's one place where they're having these clinics for seasonal flu and eventually for the swine flu. But these are the people, you know, the people that go to grocery stores, these are the moms and the dads that go grocery shopping to put food on the table for the kids and make the decisions in households. So these are the people, you know, we've got our own flyers coming here in Phoenix, and we're passing them out. And that's where I really want to attack is the grocery stores, because these are the people who look after their family's health.
Of course, yes. You know, and that'd be a great place. That's the best place, because that is, like Drew said, that's where they're giving out the vaccines. That's exactly where their target is these places where the public is coming together to do stuff, whether it's a grocery store or another facility. And you got to get out there. You got to inform the public. That's the best thing to do. Because if the government senses that they're not going to be able to get away with this, and if they'll only go as far as they can.
And the other important, you know, if anyone knows any is in law enforcement or is a medical worker or knows people or has family who are a first responder, we're really concerned that, you know, if they force vaccinate, say, the Phoenix Police Department, once they've been vaccinated, there's nothing stopping those police officers from vaccinating everybody else because, well, we took it. Why won't you take it? So that's the rationale. So it's I was reading the article of 50% of people say they're not going to do it, but for, you know, you want to keep your job, this is what you're going to do, and with an economy like it is now, who's going to give up their job? They're going to roll up their sleeve and take it, and then we get put in a much worse position, I think. So, well, you know, that's our angle here, is we want to advocate for the first responders. And because it's the force issue. You can put whatever you want in your body, man. I really don't care. That's up to the individual. If you want to put squalene in your body, you can go knock yourself out. But when there's force involved, when there's coercion involved, that's when you're over the line. You know, as we say here, do we own our bodies? And we say we do. So
that's right. And we got the best thing to do is be proactive. You know, don't just sit there. Don't let it come to the point where they're coming to your door with a needle and a gun. Don't let it reach that point. Because I can't, you know, if it does reach that point, if it did, you know, the big if, is, you know, I see it'd be disastrous. I mean, it'd be disastrous for the first responders who are doing it, It'd be disastrous for the people, you know, for whatever decision they're going to make. And we don't want to get to that point. And the thing we need to do is cut this thing off, cut it off at the, you know, before it gets to that point. And by informing our first responders, Drew is correct. You know, we need to get to them. You stop them from taking the vaccines. You get in their head. You educate them and let them know you care about them. Because that's how you're going to reach them. You got to reach out to them. And then you will be able to diffuse this across the country. So,
well, you're right, because you know their last caller, John, there in New York, was saying this is obviously a point for him where he's not going to take it, and he's going to do whatever he feels necessary to defend that and to stop that from happening. And if that's how this scenario plays out, we're in a very dangerous situation where now you have the people versus the police or yeah. FEMA or whoever's administering these shots. And that's not what we want. I mean, we just want to be left alone, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, just leave me alone.
And I'll leave you alone.
Yep. And as Ernest says, there's the people that want to be left alone and the people that just won't leave you alone. So, you know, we got to reach out. We got to change this whole mentality across the country. And, you know, it is your choice. But the thing is, you know, it just scares me when people are just like so nonchalant about this vaccine or anything else, and they just like, oh yeah, yummy mercury. Oh, I'm so glad I'm taking this shot. Oh, it's, you know,
we got so good.
Yeah, we gotta take this seriously, people, and that's one thing that we're organizing here in Phoenix is the ability to get out the information to the public. All right, I'll take some more calls when we come back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I see trouble all my days. All right, this is Andrew Strimick filling in for the Ernest Hancock Declare Your Independence show here down at Freedom's Phoenix on this lovely Arizona afternoon.
You're a much better singer than Ernie. You should have sung along. And Donna, too. But
all right. So, you know, one of the things that we're doing, I'm really excited about. So I'm all fired up for this vaccine information awareness initiative that we're taking down here at Freedom's Phoenix. You know, we got these wonderful signs made up, these big, I don't know what they're like, 6-8 feet long by about three feet wide. And they say, support first responders that say no to mandatory shots. It has a little skull and hypodermic needles, like almost like a skull and crossbone. This actually looks more like a Transformer head, kind of
Darth
weird
Vader
thing. Darth Vader looking with these hypodermic needles and a little cross there. And, you know, we're going to be putting these up all over the valley. I mean, we're going to really want to saturate as much of the valley around Phoenix that we can here. And we'll see what the man does. We'll see if the man comes down on us for it. Yeah, see if we could avoid keeping ourselves out of trouble where we're trying to educate the public. Yeah, that's one thing that's thought that crossed my mind as we're trying to put up these signs to support our first responders. How are first responders going to respond to us?
Time will tell. But I it's genuine, man. We're here advocating for them, and then I think that, you know, as Ernie has talked about on the show, and the 4409 did a YouTube about our understanding is that the cops are going to be. There is going to be a mandated to take these vaccines,
yep.
And you know, and if not all of them, somebody in your life that you know is going to be forced to take this.
If they don't do it this season, if they don't do it this year, you know, the laws are in place and they will use. So you can sit there and say, no, they won't do it. They can't get away with it, and maybe they won't this season. Maybe it's just going to be there. It's going to wait till a better time. So, you know, for us to start this movement, And it's not as this educate people, you know, get people to, you know, support those who do not want to take the vaccines is a big issue to me. And, you know, if you don't have the ability to come up with like a flyer yourself, just go online. There are plenty of flyers available. There are trifolds and all sorts of stuff that you can download. You can print up yourself. You can spread them out in your own community. You know, get out there and take action. And that's what we're doing. We want to get, we got a nice, lovely printing press here. We want to get thousands and thousands of these flyers made. We're talking about DVDs and making information, real nice information put on DVDs, because we got these DVD makers that we've been using for the Obama deception videos that we can put some video information material on them and distribute them too. And that's a good way to get information across to people. And it's just by any means, you know, whatever you can afford to do will make a difference. At least, you know, you want to make a difference to your friends, your family, and just, you know, remember, stay positive, stay focused, and go out there and make a difference, because you are the one that will make it happen.